around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. Pastor David Langford here today. Today is Tuesday, December the 1st, 2020. We'd like to welcome you today to the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. And I pray that wherever you are, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is abounding mightily in your heart and in your life. What a time to be alive and to witness the many, many things that are taking place throughout the world. The end is not yet, as I attempted to teach yesterday. That angers some people, but Jesus made it clear. The Greek word there is telos, T-E-L-O-S, telos, the end. You'll hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. It's not at the end. And then, after the wars and the rumors of wars, you're going to see the rise of the Antichrist. And as I say, we're not on that time frame yet for the revelation of the Antichrist, though there are many who are saying that, decreeing that, declaring that, but I don't believe they're in tune with God. I believe they're in tune with their own ideology, their own mindset. I believe the true church, and I know I am certain the true church will know, because they'll recognize the abomination of desolation. That is the revelation, my friend, of the Antichrist. Then shall that wicked be revealed. Remember, this is a revelation. It's not conjecture. It's not going to be something that you're going to figure out. So many have tried through the years to identify the Antichrist, and you know what they're batting? Zero. None of them has ever been right. Why? It is a revelation. It is a revealing. We'll get into that as I continue to teach here from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You're going to find out it's a revelation. So nobody can know till the appointed time. So to say those things and to elaborate, pontificate on those things, it's just pure conjecture. And you're wasting your time listening to the false teachers and false prophets. I want to play a beautiful song today entitled Fear Not by the Tribute Quartet. I want to encourage you today, fear not.
Despite Daddy's brought you this far, so keep telling your heart, trust God.
Fear not. That's what we're supposed to do. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear not. Hope you enjoyed that today. We've been teaching now for the last 8 weeks. I knew this would be a very lengthy teaching series because we're exegeting virtually every word, every phrase here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 through verse 12. And we're just now getting into the meat of verse 2. But I'm trying to get you to understand, or I'm attempting to try to get you to understand what to look for regarding the time of the end. This is one of the beautiful and great aspects of we, the believers, having God's Word. I can read the Word of God, and I can see, are we where that Bible verse describes we are? And as I said yesterday, one of the great tragedies throughout history, every generation tries to make Bible prophecy fit their generation. And we're no different. As I said, my grandparents, and many, not only them, but just millions of people in America, thought the Social Security card and number was the mark of the beast. And I'm going to say this, it may well be, but we're not there yet. We don't know. But the mark of the beast, the name, the number, remember there's three ways to receive this. I don't believe it is, because that means I'm already doomed because I have a number. This will be another type of identification number, mark, and the name of the beast. Those are the three ways that you get into the system. And no, you're not going to be asleep on the bed in a hospital or sick and somebody give you an injection and you unknowingly received the mark of the beast. God is not, I got you. You're going to know just like Judas Iscariot. When he bargained with the devil and he sold his soul for 30 pieces of silver, he knew what he was doing. He knew what he did. Thus he comes back in the 27th chapter of Matthew, and then he comes into the temple. Matthew 27, verse 3. He comes in, he hurls the silver coins across the temple. He understood what he had done. Verse 3, when he saw he was condemned, he threw the 30 pieces of silver back to the Jewish priest, and he said, I have sinned, and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? He cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Don't think he didn't know what he did. He knew exactly what he did. You can read all of that, as I said, in Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 1. I have condemned the innocent blood. Those were his words. He knew it. Remember, Satan is the author of condemnation. The Holy Spirit convicts us. He doesn't condemn us. He convicts us and says, hey, you need to get that under the blood. You need to make that right. Now, I want to pick up today here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. I want to pick up on the word, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word. The emphasis today on this program is that you're not troubled by word or words. I can say something today that could trouble you terribly. I could say something sinful, grievous, and you would be offended, grieved, hurt, injured, harmed. Of course, I will not do that, but I'm saying, Paul says, don't you be troubled by word. Now, in the truest sense of this phrase, nor by word, was a false epistle, a false letter from the Apostle Paul. It's believed that somewhere in the process, someone had forged Paul's name and written a false, fake epistle, a letter. But see, Paul was inspired by the Holy Ghost and is telling the church, don't you be troubled by word. Now, let me give you an example of a word that someone may give, someone may say or do that can be troubling to the true Spirit of God, but can be deceptive to those who do not know God. Now, let me say that again. Satan has his ministers. They can utter words that can trouble you. But to the true child of God, who has the Spirit of God and the Word of God built up in their heart, their mind, their conscience, as soon as they hear that false word, the detector goes off and the Holy Ghost says, that's fallacy, that is a lie, that is a mendacity, that is not true. But Satan lies for the purpose of deceiving. All of Satan's victories are based on lies and deception. So let's look at something here today. I want to give you an example that on the surface, just with your hearing, it appears to be truthful. Yet, it is spoken by a demon. That's right. Superficially, it appears to be godly, but it is demonically inspired, demonically spoken, and it is a word, but it is a false word. It is not a true word because it came from the devil. Remember, you've got to understand this. I want you to get this. John 8:44. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now remember, Jesus said about the devil, there is no truth in him. Now it may sound like it's true, it may appear to be true, but at the core, he's the author of the lie. Satan fathers every lie that is spoken. Adrian Rogers, God bless his soul, but he made a statement that is so indelible in my spirit, and I will never forget it. But he said, no man, No woman is more like the devil than when they lie. And that has stuck with me for, I don't know, 20, 25, 30 years. I never forgot that. I read it in an article, and I remember putting the article in the back seat of my car. I remember reading it, and I said, my God, how profound is that? No man, no woman is more like the devil than when they lie, because the devil lied, Jesus said, from the beginning. There are people that are lying to you. There are people that say they are Christians, and they are lying to you. I get so tired of politicians even referring to the Word of God, those slithering vipers and serpents. How dare you even mention God's Word when you violate God's Word as never before? My God, you talk about evil. Evil. Using, referencing, referring, trying to use the Word of God as an undergird for their lies. But that's where we are. Now listen to this. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 16 through verse 20. And as it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, because this is Luke. He's writing this. He's the penman for Paul. Followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. See, what that demon is doing is mocking godliness, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, the Greek says he was troubled, he was worried in his spirit, turned and said to the Spirit. The damsel was the voice of the Spirit. And Paul said, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out the same hour. Now she's pontificating. She is extolling. She is lauding Paul, Luke, the Christian faction that is there. And she's saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. Now that was and is true, but she was lying. Because the devil is a liar, and Jesus said, there is no truth in him. Now, it appears to be right. You see, as I sit as a Christian, and I listen to purported Christians, or let me say, preachers, teachers, it doesn't take me long, based on the Word of God, they're teaching a fallacy. A mendacity. They're teaching something that is not correct. And they keep teaching it so that they won't be proven wrong. Like there are many who says the great falling away should have been the rapture. Well, that's just asinine. Because the falling away in the Greek is number 646 in your strong exhaustive concordance. And it means to depart from the faith. It means the writing of a bill of divorcement. I didn't think we were divorcing Christ. I thought we were gathering together unto Christ. Not departing, not leaving, but gathering together unto Christ. And I could name some names right now, but I won't. But they're just blatantly, flagrantly wrong. And they twist that passage, that day shall not come except there come a falling away. And that's even more stupid when you read it. That day shall not come. The coming of the Lord and our gathering together unto him. That day shall not come except there come a rapture first. I mean, that's just stupid. Yeah, I'm using the word stupid because it's asinine to try to say it means the rapture of the church, the falling away. So, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him shall not take place except there come a rapture first. This is crazy. And I could call at least three ministries right now that's what they teach. Three. And if I called them, you'd know every one of them. You'd know every one of them. So this damsel, she's demon-possessed. I want you to get something here. She brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now, you remember in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I believe it's about verse 15, Paul said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Notice the phrase, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. It's verse 14, 2 Timothy 4, 14. God reward him according to his works. It is believed here in Acts 16, this was Alexander the coppersmith who had Paul and Silas and Luke and all of them brought to the magistrates. But it was Paul and Silas that we see put in prison. Remember Acts 16:31? At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. So she was she had a spirit of divination, so she was soothsaying. In other words, she was prognosticating, trying to say things that were not true, but she had a spirit of divination about her. And so she tries to turn this from a spirit of divination into a spirit of prophecy. These are the men of God, and they show us the way of salvation. These are the servants of the Most High God. You see what I'm saying? Now, who was speaking? The demon was giving this word. Why do you think the Bible said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether it be of God, for many false prophets are gone out into the world. You have to try the spirit. Now, I know without a doubt Paul tried the spirit, because the Bible says he was grieved. Now, in the natural, wouldn't you think, if you're preaching the gospel, you're praying, and somebody says, these are men of God. Look at these. These are men of God. They preach Jesus, and they show us the way of salvation. You'd commend her. Paul didn't commend her, did he? No, Paul rebuked her. I should say he rebuked the spirit that had possessed her. As I said, it says, but Paul being grieved or troubled in his spirit, he turned and he said to the spirit, he was not speaking to the damsel, he was speaking to the spirit in her. Have you ever noticed how much demon possession Jesus encountered in his earthly ministry? You ever notice that? Demon possession. Demons can be so subtle. They are masters at chicanery and trickery. And I believe a lot of this stuff that you see on television, the divining of spirits, people buy it lock, stock, and barrel. I see signs, so-called miracles, so-called wonders. But Jesus said he would confirm the word with signs following. So I don't hear these preachers preaching any Bible. So what is God confirming? He said to the early church before he ascended, he would confirm the preaching of his word with signs following. So when I see some great display of the gifts of the Spirit, but I don't hear any Bible preaching, what is God confirming? Folks, we got to get to where the rubber meets the road. We have to be preaching the Bible. We have to be preaching the Word. And God confirms the Word with signs. We may see some. We may not see some. Our job, my job, is to preach the Word of God. First and foremost, nothing else. Preach the word. Now this, Paul says, he, the demon, came out the same hour or in the same moment. Now, through my years of research and study, I believe the demons are the deceased spirits of the giants. We have no record of where God created demons. So they had to come from somewhere. I believe they are the spirits of the deceased giants. We have no idea how many giants that were in the earth before the flood and after the flood. How do we know there were giants after the flood? Well, because David killed Goliath, and the Bible said Goliath had five brothers, or four brothers, I forget how many now, four or five. But the point is, he had brothers. The sons of Enoch, however you want to pronounce it. All of these giants. And I also believe there were female giants. I'm not going to get into all of that today. I'm talking about the demons, the spirit of inspiration, demonic inspiration. Here's what I want you to see. What the damsel said was correct. It was true, but it was coming from a liar. You say, how can that be? That's the subtleness of Satan. You shall not surely die. That was a lie. No, they didn't fall over dead in the garden immediately, but they died spiritually. They lost something. They lost that wholesome divine relationship with God. And God said, the day that you partake, you shall surely die. No man lived to be 1,000 years old. Have you ever noticed that? Adam lived to be 930. Methuselah lived to be 969 years of age, but nobody reached 1,000 years. So in 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter says, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are as one day, meaning one day, 1,000 years. So no man lived the full day. So when God said, in the day that you partake, you shall surely die, no one reached the day, the full day, the whole 1,000-year day. 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Don't think different, he said. Don't be ignorant. And that word ignorant there in the Greek means don't not know. You need to know these things. Peter uses that phrase. You need to know these things. You need to be aware of these things. You need to be conscious of these things. Regrettably, a lot of people are not, because they are not in the Bible. They're not in the Bible. You have such a superficial gospel that is being preached in this hour. There's no depth. There's no breadth. You could say things to so-called ministers. They don't know what you're talking about. They don't even know. Why? They're not in the Word. I don't expect them to know. See, it's all about having a great time in this life, your best life now. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You see the conflicting truth there with your best life now? Does that make sense to you? Paul says, if you only got Jesus in this life and this is all you have, you're of all men most miserable. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Think about what I'm saying. Most miserable. Now contrast that with your best life now. If the things I deal with, the things you deal with, I got a letter from a brother some days ago, asked me to call his wife. She's down to 70 pounds, cancer, dying. And, of course, I phoned. You know, I try to keep this ministry on a personal level. I don't have time to do all of the things people want me to do. I just don't have the time. But when somebody's facing death and it's imminent, as I said some weeks ago, one of my friends' cancer has just gotten up into his nasal, the septum, and they're going to have to take his nose off his face. Another brother calls, remember I shared this some weeks ago, would God forgive me if I shoot my wife and shoot my dog with what I see coming? The reality in my world is just that. It's real. People facing death, sickness, disease, infirmities. I don't have time for the trivial things. I don't have time to play games. I don't have time to try to push books and this and that and shake you down for money. God will meet the needs of the ministry. I'm not worried about that. That's why we don't talk about those things. It's not even needful. That's why I don't understand some ministries who just beg. They spend most of their time begging. If they had prayed like I do, God would just touch people's hearts to give. It's just not that hard. I just don't see in the New Testament preachers begging. But I see it all the time. Life is real. And so I'm trying to teach you the Bible as best I can. I'm limited without a doubt. You know I'm limited. I know I'm limited, but I'm trying to expound as best I can. Now, getting back to my point, what the damsel said was correct, but it was said from a lying spirit. Those words came from a demon. Now, what's going on here? These are the servants of the Most High God, and they show us the way of salvation, but it's not right. Matthew 24:5. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Do you know what this damsel was trying to do? She was desirous to deceive those that were following the Apostle Paul and Silas. Satan's purpose was to deceive those that were listening to the Apostle Paul. Jesus said, many are going to come in my name. They're going to say, I'm the Messiah, but they're going to deceive you. Why? Because they are truly of their father, the devil. This is where it takes discernment. Satan, his effort with this damsel and her demon possession, his purpose was trying to negate the convicting power and the presence of the Holy Ghost, and to cause the listener or the hearers to take the word of God lightly, to look on God's word without respect, and to view the word of God with utter contempt. See, this is why people will say to someone, listen to Pastor Langford, oh, he's hellfire and brimstone, he's a Bible thumper, I don't want to hear that. What do? They have contempt for the word of God. You don't have contempt for me. I know you don't like me. That doesn't bother me. I mean, anybody that will talk about my hair, my shirts, my beard, you don't like me. It's like people not liking Donald Trump. You just don't like him. You don't like his looks. This is not what this is about. This is about deception. This is about duplicity. This is about the spirit of Antichrist, which is forerunning the earth right now, and people have utter disrespect and contempt for the word of God. You see, I'm going to give the world Bible. Every person that listens to the voice of evangelism knows they're going to hear me quote Bible. They're going to hear the Word of God. If a spirit is false, what will it produce? False words, because it is a false spirit. Pedigree. Let's talk about pedigree for a moment. A Longhorn. A Holstein. A Jersey. These are cows, breeds. Black Angus. There are bulls that will sell for $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $10,000 because of the pedigree. Because the man says, I'll pay that for that bull because I want this great stock of cattle. Or it's with dogs, pedigree. My question is, the pedigree of false spirits will only produce false words. Now, they may appear on the surface to be true. This is what this damsel was doing. Alexander the coppersmith was making amulets, trinkets, little statues, idols or whatever, because he was a coppersmith. So he made them. And she, by her divination, brought profit to these men. So when Paul cast out the demon, Paul attacked their source of income, and so they came against the Apostle Paul. And Paul and Silas were put into jail. We know that. Just keep reading Acts chapter 16. And that's why in 2 Timothy 4:14, Paul says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. God reward him according to his works. He sought to hurt the Apostle Paul. And Paul said, God will reward him according to his works. Now, demons are of their father, the devil. They're the offspring. So that's why I brought up the word pedigree. Because you're going to get from that spirit what it is. It's going to reproduce false words, false preachers, false apostles, deceitful workers. Now, what you're going to witness here in the time of the end are more and more false spirits. These false spirits will explode exponentially here in the time of the end. Now, I just shared it. But let's go back and look at it. Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now you notice the sequence? Christ is adamantly, he's very ardent. He's telling you, take heed that no man deceive you. This woman, this damsel, was seeking to deceive the people, and she was saying, these are the servants of God. This is why Paul writes this epistle, the second epistle to the church at Thessalonica, that you be not soon shaken, that you soon not be shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word. There are going to be false words given by false spirits, false prophets. And if you're not careful, you'll be deceived. Now, what the damsel said verbally was true, but it came from the spirit of a demon. That's what made it false. That's why you've got to discern. Well, this preacher says he's a man of God. Jesus said they're going to come in my name, and they're going to tell you that Jesus is the Christ, but they're going to deceive you. You see, they give you just enough truth to reel you in. And once they've reeled you in, now they'll begin to espouse all of this other stuff. And I'm going to say this till I die. There's two things false teachers and false prophets never do. I'm going to give you two things. You listen to them, you watch them, and there's two things they will never do. Number one, they'll never preach against any kind of sin, and they'll never preach you must repent, you must be born again. They will never, ever, ever do it, because that's what gets you right with God. You will never hear a false prophet preach against sin and preach repentance. Never. Because that's going to get you right with God. Now you're going to have the right spirit living, abiding, abiding within you. Now you're going to have the right heart. You're going to have clean hands. You're going to have a pure heart. You're going to see different. You're going to hear different. You're going to listen differently. Everything is going to be totally different. But you mark my words. No false prophet, no false teacher will ever preach against sin, and they'll never preach repentance. Never. Because if you repent, they lose you. You see the light. They're never going to talk about people shacking up and living together. They're never going to talk about drunkenness and drinking and fornicating and watching X-rated movies, going to nightclubs, bars, or whatever they do today. I don't know. I've been out for 40-some years. I don't know anymore. They're never going to say anything about that. They're never going to talk about pornography and the filth. They're not going to do any of that. Why? They're false teachers. They're false prophets. You see, that's how you can know. Is that a real man of God, or is that guy a charlatan? Does he preach against sin, and does he preach repentance? Those are the two. That's all you need to know. If they never say anything about sin, they just don't care about your soul. And if they never say, you must repent, you must be born again, they're not right with God. Those are the earmarks of true evangelical preachers. You must be born again. You must be born again. I want to share this. I want you to see the clarity. In John chapter 3, the encounter with Nicodemus. I want you to see the clarity and the pointedness and the power, how Christ smote Nicodemus. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. He didn't want nobody to know he's going to see the rabbi. I'm talking about the real rabbi. He said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus was so holy, so pure, he didn't let the lauding of the great miracles he was doing distract him from what he was called, why he came into the world, and what to do. He said, you got to be born again, dude. That's a little crass, I reckon. Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Did Jesus preach repentance? Absolutely. All the time, all the time, all the time. Next, if you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And what did he do second? He preached against sin. Paul preached repentance. He preached against sin. Read the epistles of the apostles. Read the book of Jude. I mean, my God, does Jude not just preach against all kind of sins? Fallen angels, Solomon, Gomorrah, Korah, Balaam, Cain. I mean, don't you get it? Or are you missing the significance of sin and repentance? So you'll never hear all these guys on television. And the subtleness is, you think that they're right with God and they're telling you the truth. I'm here to tell you they're misleading you. They're doing what Jesus said. They'll come in the name of Jesus, but they're going to deceive you. You see, what the damsel said on the surface was true. But here's the problem. She was serving the devil. So what she said was false, and the fact it was a false spirit. It was a false word. It was a false prophecy. It was a false word of knowledge. Remember Matthew 6 and 24. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now, she and her masters were doing this for mammon, for money. I want you to get this. See, at the close of the day, this was all about one thing, folks. This was about money. This is why we don't talk about money as far as asking for money. If I never ask you for money, I can't get in trouble with money, can I? You know, people raise money to do this, raise money to do that, raise money to do this. And, you know, they say, oh, well, all we need is $250,000 to do this, but they brought in $1 million. Where did the $750,000 go? Oh, that other home they wanted to buy, that yacht they wanted to buy, that jet airplane they wanted to buy. You see, I think about all these things. Acts 16 and 19. I want you to get this. I'm trying to get you to see what you need to be looking for of this evil revolution that is rising. Acts 16, 19. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers. And, of course, they were ultimately cast into prison. But they saw that the hope of their gains was gone. They lost their money machine. Doggone it. There went my crooked, weaseling, worthless, lying, cheating profit. P-R-O-F-I-T. Gone. And what was she saying? These are the servants of the Most High God, and they show us the way unto salvation. Look, she says, this is it. This is it. See, this is exactly what we're witnessing right now. And I'm going to keep saying this and reiterating this. Do they preach against sin of any kind, lesbianism, homosexuality, sodomy, same-sex marriage, abortion, drunkenness, fornication, lying, cheating, extortion, effeminate, all of the sins. And Paul said, don't you be deceived. They which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Not going to happen. 2 Corinthians 11, 14, 15, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, let's look at that because my time was just about gone. And forgive me for not having the time to pray today. I'll pick this back up Monday. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. It's a metamorphosis. They say, Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Lord, but they're deceiving you. They're coming in Christ's name. They're saying, he is the Christ. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Well, what do you think their end is? It's damnation. Because they're liars. They come on the scene. They appear to be something great. You know, people chase, they're kind of like the Gnostics, Gnosticism. They chase all these people that have this vast knowledge. Oh, I'm boring. I'm as boring as watching paint dry because I just preach the Bible. I mean, I'm boring. You know, I'm not hyperbole, you know, extraordinary. He's just an old hellfire and brimstone Bible thumper. That's all Pastor Lankford is. Yeah, I'm boring, but not in the kingdom of God am I boring. God is happy with the voice of evangelism because we preach a pure, unadulterated word, and we're not worried about our gains. We don't sit down at the end of the month and say, let's look at the books. How much did we gain? What are we doing? We're not making appeals every program for money, 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 money. Oh, I get tired of hearing it. There's something wrong. Remember, Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon. Here this damsel is saying one thing. It's all about the money. And when the master saw that their hope of their gains was gone, we got to destroy now the men of God. There are ministries. There are people and factions would love to see this ministry go down because, you see, I'm opposing what they're saying and what they're doing and the path they're taking you down. They don't like that. You see, I'm not contending with them. I'm preaching the Word of God. Indirectly, they contend with me because they don't like the truth because it indicts them. And I'm not here to indict anybody. I'm just here to tell you, Paul said, you better not be shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letters from us. You see, Paul understood the trickery. Now, I can't right here on the top of my mind tell you what year this 16th chapter of Acts was written versus the epistle to the church at Thessalonica, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I don't know what year Paul or Luke would have penned Acts 16 versus 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But my point is, Paul was preaching, warning, and telling us, here's what you're going to witness in the end. Jesus laid it out synchronous in Matthew 24. And you put all this together, and you compile all this together, and you look at it correctly through the lens of the Word and the Holy Spirit, you then see the accuracy. I mean, you talk about spot on. You talk about knowing and bullseye, hitting the bullseye every time, never missing it a 64th of an inch. Not even that. But I mean dead in the center, dead accurate, dead perfect. She says, these are the servants of the Most High God. They're telling us the way of salvation. And Paul was troubled and he turned. This went on for days now. This went on for days. This wasn't just one event, one time. The Bible said this went on for days. And Paul turned. He didn't speak to the damsel. He spoke to the demon. And when the demon was cast out, they lost their prophet. P-R-O-F-I-T. They lost it. It was gone. You see, they don't want to lose their prophet today. But I'm reminded of Mark 8, 36, 37. What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? I'm not selling out for money. I'm not going to be like Judas. See, these men sometimes don't realize they're a type of Judas. It's about the money. See, it's filthy lucre. Paul called it filthy lucre. They got money through chicanery, through trickery, subtle. It was earned dishonestly, manipulating people to get money. That's not right. That's not the heart of God. God has never manipulated anybody. He says, give cheerfully. Give abundantly. You sow abundantly, you reap abundantly. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. God loveth a cheerful giver. We got to get right, folks. I'm going to pick this back up Monday. This is going to take me some time to teach all of this. But I'm going to keep teaching it and preaching it till we get to the end of verse 12. Now, let me say this in closing today. I'm going to slow down in December. I want to kind of dedicate, consecrate myself unto the Lord. I'm going to stay with this series. And I'll be doing some intermittent videos. But I'm going to sequester myself for a little while. And just be still and be quiet and get along with God. We all need to hear from God. And if you're listening to 4 hours of Fox News a day, I encourage you to spend 4 hours in prayer and quit listening to that. These are the things that are troubling many people. If what you're reading constantly is troubling you, paralyzing you, instilling fear in your heart, why in God's name are you listening to it? Why do you go there? Why do you visit it? As I shared about my friend the other day, Brother Neil, he said, no more Facebook. He's done with news, these things. Why? They're of the world at the end of the day. They're worldly. And that's all Satan wants to do is to get your eye on the glitter or your loyalty pledged to a news organization that has become infiltrated with homosexuals and liars. It's crazy. We're in the last days. And in the last days, there's going to be a spirit of great deception come on the world. The great deception on the end of the age for people to accept the Antichrist. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. We're getting there. One of the great harbingers, one of the great presages will be when you see this 10 Kingdom Federation, you'll know it's near at the door. God bless you. We love you. Thank you for helping us and supporting us and praying for us. I'll see you Monday in the Lord.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to the Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.